Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Football Monday on WGR. It's the playoffs, the Bills and Broncos Sunday at 1. Eric Wood joining us now. Eric, and I don't blame him for this. This is not a criticism of him. We'll occasionally, you know, sort of sneak in a point about how we don't listen to the games. but we always catch, Eric, the end, like when you guys are signing off. And I'm telling you, like, that Gillette Stadium sounds like a nightmare to me. How close are the fans to you, and is that not a constant distraction?
It is definitely a distraction. I mean, some of them are within maybe 5 feet of us, and we're just above them. So maybe be, you know, what would be about being like two rows behind someone in the stadium, about that level, is about how much higher we are than them. And yes, but even from a fan perspective, like, I wouldn't want to be a Patriots fan and listen to the Bills broadcast in my ear the entire game, as you know, we've had a lot of success there recently, you know, and
yep,
we're celebrating Josh Allen plays. I feel for them as well, but inevitably there's going to be someone throughout the game that likely has had too much to drink prior in the parking lot and gets in our face a little bit. You know, they start chirping us and messing with us, and I thought I was the weird one that couldn't get over it, but I hear that Kelso was also perturbed by them messing with him in the past, and he is a very mild-mannered man, much calmer than I am, yeah. So I don't feel quite as bad anymore.
How, if you don't mind telling us, if there's any kind of a juicy answer, like how I don't know, how close has it ever gotten to, like, you know, you gonna call security, or, you know, what's the tense it ever got up there?
Les, I'll be completely honest. 2 years ago, I almost had my buddy come over, and I didn't want him to hit anybody. Just come over and say something. This guy was pestering me as I'm just trying to do my job. Mm-hmm. He's videoing me. He's messing with me. He's making faces at me. He's calling me names during breaks, and you know, just too much.
Right.
To the point where it got to the point where I'm like, look, buddy, I know I'm a public figure and you think, or maybe know, that I can do nothing in retaliation to you. But I was very close to having one of my buddies come over and just do a little bit of an intimidation factor. But
right.
I made the better decision. I'll give my wife credit probably for that one.
All right.
Can you close a window?
In some stadiums, but the way the booth's set up there, by the time I get to the stadium, the way we got to set it up, that window is open. And it generally leads to a better broadcast. It creates more energy for me and Chris to be a part of it. I mean, there's nothing worse than being eight stories up in Kansas City with a closed-off booth. You feel like you could probably call the game better just watching on TV.
So what was the crowd like yesterday? I mean, the CBS guys were pretty much obsessed with it, how the fans were... What were they doing? Booing the Patriots? Good plays? I don't know. Like, it must have been a weird atmosphere.
It was, because at times they would, you know, Josh Allen goes out there, they cheer. He comes off after one play, and they boo, but they're not booing Josh Allen, the player. They're booing the fact that he's not going to go out there and rack up points on them to try and help them get the number one pick. And it was a mixed crowd. Some were cheering for the Patriots to score, to win, and then others were booing, understanding the ramifications of it. And look, the Patriots did all they could. They played their third-string quarterback. Now, he went out and had a heck of a day and likely made himself some money moving forward. Not saying he'll go be a starting quarterback, but if Jacoby Brissett's not back next year, he's likely the backup. If they do bring, you know, a more of a veteran presence in there for Drake May, he's likely a piece that they could move next year and maybe get some money based upon, or maybe get some draft capital or whatever it is based upon how he played yesterday. But they played their third-string quarterback. You know, Christian Gonzalez, the best player on their team, was out for the game with concussion. Their starting center was out with a concussion. I mean, they had a lot of pieces that weren't out there. But unfortunately for them, they got the job done.
Right. How odd did you find it, if you found it out at all, that May played one series in this game? Like, I get them wanting to get Milton on the field from whatever their motivation would have been for that. You know, lose the game, get the number one pick, let him air it out and see if he can establish some sort of value for himself, like you just alluded to, and maybe they can turn that into something as we move into the spring, whatever. But May for a series was weird. Like, we all understand Josh has got a streak going. I mean, May just started this year. I guess if you want to start a streak from when he entered the lineup this year, fine. But I don't know. It was just weird to me that they played him one series.
Right. You know, I would have assumed you just give Milton a start, and if need be, you put Drake May in there. I guess it's maybe just to give him the honor of getting the start for the game, get him a few reps out there. From my understanding, with talking to some folks in New England, you know, the main thing is they wanted him to be able to develop this offseason and not take a risk of injury, which any quarterback that plays behind that Patriots offensive line this season is at risk of injury. Now, Drake May, incredible mobility in the pocket. Milton had the same yesterday, was able to avoid a number of hits and sacks in the pocket. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, they like what they have in Drake May. They've seen enough this year. They don't need necessarily one extra game at the end of the year playing against a number of Buffalo's backups and a very vanilla game plan to make any further judgments on him. So, that essentially, it's to keep him healthy. But I'm with you, Bulldog. Why even play him one series then? Because he didn't take a big shot from Von Miller.
Right.
In my understanding as well was, you know, they told him, you know, it's third and long. Don't take a big shot here.
Worked for Von. I guess it worked for him. One more on New England and yesterday. I think it would be the first post-game show we've ever done where a coach was fired before the show was over. Were you sensing that was going to happen? Do you think it – I don't. Do you think it was because they won the game? Like, was the feeling in the air that might happen even quickly?
You know, no, not necessarily. I was with a number of their coaches before the game. Alex Van Pelt's a good friend of mine. Bob Bicknell coached with us in Buffalo. Joe Kim, their defensive line specialist, he coached with us in Buffalo. Robert Kugler, my old offensive line coach. Sean Cougar's son's on staff. So I'm over on New England sideline catching up with a bunch of guys. I know a few of their players. And that wasn't the feeling. The feeling was, hey, yes, this season sucked. We kind of knew it from the jump just based upon talent. But we think we got this quarterback for the future. Can't wait to develop him and utilize all this cap space, most cap space in the league heading into the offseason. You know, top five draft pick now, not number one, but you have this serious draft capital, and then they fire him after 1 year, which, I mean, that's just a tough deal. It's not a good look for the franchise either. Right. You know, that's the type of deal, and this is me talking to some coaches around the league, and I'm not going to name names, but when you do something like that, because I asked them, I said, what does that show other coaches? And it says, well, you got to be really careful going to a place like that because, you know, they're moving on from a guy after 1 year. You move your family there, you might not get a shot to actually prove what you can do as a coaching staff. And so that's a tough look with Van Pelt in the parking lot after the game. I had already planned to meet him and tailgate with him and Kugler and a few guys after the game, and then ended up being a pretty crappy situation with, you know, him being – rightfully upset.
What do you think did Mayo in? I know the owner talked today about feeling some regret about putting him into a position that maybe, to paraphrase, he ends up not being really ready for. I mean, that can be a lot of things that you might know better than me, you know, knowing all these people on the staff, like behind the scenes, command of the room, leader of men, all that kind of stuff. I just don't think we've talked about this before. On Sundays after games, he's stepped in it numerous times. Like, I don't know if that's enough to get you fired. I imagine it's more like, you know, trusting that he's got what it takes to lead you where you want to go ultimately. But I think he embarrassed the franchise numerous times this year.
He did, and I'm sure that played a role into it. You know, handling the media and representing your organization is part of being the head coach, the CEO, the person that's front and center at all times, that's on the microphone multiple times a week, and you want him to be representing your franchise in a positive light, and he wasn't always doing that. Now, Gerard Mayo as a player, as a leader, from what I understand in that locker room, and even transitioning into coaches, he got a lot of respect in the building. But as a head coach, you know, I don't want to make any assumptions not being behind the scenes there, but I know that the guys liked working with him, and he's got a strong reputation in this league. I assume he lands on his feet. Obviously, it's going to be a step down, whether that's a position coach or maybe a coordinator somewhere, but you know, maybe he gets another shot one day, but there's a lot of guys in this league that are great coordinators and not necessarily a great head coach. And if and look, I know it's one season. I'm kind of talking out both sides of my mouth. But if you know that he's not your guy after year one, it sucks for everyone involved. It probably doesn't give you a good look of your franchise, you know, a good representation of you as an owner. But you got to move on because you only got Drake May for so many years before you got to really pay this guy. And these are the times where you can really capitalize when you got a cheap quarterback.
With Eric Wood on the Wester Hotline, the Bills and the Denver Broncos Sunday at 1 here on WGR in the wild card round. Well, before we get specific to Denver.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I know we talked about them a little bit last week, anticipating this possible matchup. Your thoughts, Eric, on just sort of what the Bills are going into this postseason? I mean, it's been about as clean of a season as they could have wanted. Just not good enough for the one, but what can you do? Sometimes they beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs just went ahead and only lost two games. Are you all the way, like, do you feel great about their chances to make a run, or is there something maybe in your head that slows you down?
You know, I have a lot of confidence just because I've seen it over and over what Josh can do in the playoffs. He continually puts on a show, one of the highest quarterback ratings of all time in the playoffs. I don't have any reservations about that. Defensively, you know, there's times where, whether it be the safety position, I'm not referring to the big play given up yesterday by Rapp, but there's times where the safety position on, you know, third downs or, you know, different times, a little bit of concern there. Can we stop the run consistently to not let a team really shorten a game to where if we do have a turnover, you know, we don't really have the time to fight back? I'm encouraged by the use of this base defense by the Bills, and I think with Milano playing some of his better football, Dorian Williams playing extremely well this year, and then obviously what you have in Terrell Bernard, being able to get in that base package and hopefully be able to stop a, you know, Baltimore potentially in the divisional round of the playoffs. And then we've talked about this in the past on this show, and it's my same concern I've had maybe the last 3 or 4 years, and one of the things I think has knocked them out of the playoffs is the inability to get pressure on elite quarterbacks with a four-man rush. And I'm not saying that's got to be just the four defensive linemen. They had some really creative rush packages versus Kansas City the last time, where it was either Milano or Bernard or Williams or whoever it is, you know, with three D linemen on the field in that dime package, where they were able to get some pressure. And I'm great with that, but, you know, can we affect the other team's quarterback when you're playing a Patrick Mahomes, a Lamar Jackson, even a Bo Nix this week? You know, can we get pressure without having to bring the blitz to where we can shut down an elite offense in the playoffs? Because ultimately that's what's bitten us these last few years.
Eric, forgive me if this is redundant, but I missed a couple of weeks. So I'm just curious, was Denver your preferred outcome? How much, if at all, did you guys talk about that while I was away for the holidays?
Yeah, it was. And I say that, everybody, if you're playing a playoff team, there's going to be strengths and potentially weaknesses to any of the opponents. What you have coming in is a rookie quarterback, but you also have an elite defense. This rookie quarterback, he's had some highlights this year. He's had some lowlights. They have pretty good skill position guys. They can run the football pretty effectively, but the defense is the star of the show there. They blitz the second most in the league. They give up the third fewest points in the league. They might have the defensive player of the year in Patrick Surtain at corner. They have, guys that can really get after the passer up front. And so, they got a really capable defense, but give me Josh Allen and our offense over, up against an elite defense as opposed to maybe a Cincinnati offensive juggernaut coming in and having to keep pace with Burrow and Chase and Higgins and that whole crew. And then, a divisional game, you play them that third time, it's hard to beat a team three times. And, I just saw what McDaniel was able to do from a run game standpoint in the snow a couple years ago. Don't necessarily want to see that again. And, I'll repeat this because I thought it was a pretty good point last week. Yes, if we played the Bengals and you're able to beat Burrow, Jackson, Mahomes, win a Super Bowl, there's your storybook. Right. All of our demons are exercised. Great. But I don't need that. I can have a parade come February in Buffalo and not need that, lineup of quarterbacks to face.
Yeah, I'm with you there. One thing, I haven't really dug in yet, too far, but I think their prowess on defense and their prowess getting to the quarterback, I want to trust one of the best offensive line performances I've ever seen from a Bills team to be ready to handle that. I feel like their strength, Denver's strength, is something that I think, I don't want to say I can just shut it down or offset it entirely, but I think I'm equipped to handle it.
Absolutely. That's a great point. This offensive line has played at elite level this season. Even yesterday, as I was talking to the Patriots pass rushing coach, he's like a specialized hands guy. This guy, Joe Kim, he was bragging on Spencer Brown and how he's developed from a guy who maybe teams were saying, hey, we can attack the right tackle spot, to saying, okay, now both the edges are pretty shored up. Maybe we could attack somebody inside, but you have guys playing inside on a really high level. What Aaron Cromer and this group has done up front has been awesome. I give Josh Allen a lot of credit. I give James Cook a lot of credit for at times making them look good, which an offensive line needs, but then there's a lot of times where Josh sits in a clean pocket and isn't taking a whole lot of shots when he stays in the pocket throughout a game.
I think we all can look at the Bills and make a case for them to beat anybody. The Allen point, all of it, offensive line. What about Denver specifically, though? I mean, they gave up 98 yards yesterday. Yes, it was largely backups, but they went out in a must-win setting against Kansas City and just totally blew them out. I mean, the game was over before you got on the plane. So, I don't know. I kind of want to respect that. They haven't played a great schedule, but their point differential is very good, over plus 100. It's Sean Payton here, who's got a lot of experience coaching in big games. The quarterback is a rookie, of course, Eric, but he's shown well. How dangerous are they?
They're certainly dangerous. I mean, when you look at what Vegas thinks of the game, they got about a 9-point spread right now. So, almost the biggest spread of the weekend. I believe Baltimore's a 10-point favorite over the Steelers. But look, this is the playoffs. Everybody's good. You have a young team, especially at the quarterback position, where maybe plays freer than he would maybe in a couple years where he's got a lot of pressure. Maybe he hasn't won a playoff game, and they're saying, can Bo Nix be the guy to actually win us a playoff game? Right now, they're excited to be in the playoffs after, kind of a dumpster fire offensively last year with Russell Wilson at the helm. So, you got a very aggressive head coach, and, you can't surprise onside kick anymore like they did in the Super Bowl, or back against Indy with the Saints. But, Sean Payton and Sean McDermott have a lot of familiarity from their times in Carolina and with New Orleans. I had Luke Kuechly on my Saturday Night Buffalo podcast at one point, and he said that Sean Payton was the hardest offensive coordinator for him to prepare for, and some of that's Drew Brees and the personnel that they had in New Orleans, but he can script a game plan, and he has a lot of familiarity with attacking this defense based upon how many times they faced off in those NFC matchups.
Would you be shocked if Baltimore lost its game to Pittsburgh?
I would be. I mean, to me, Pittsburgh's offense just doesn't have a whole lot to it right now. You know, they didn't look good at all against Cincinnati the other night, and Cincinnati fired the defense coordinator already. So, yeah, it would shock me. It would. Now, it's a divisional opponent. They got a lot of familiarity. They have a ton of experience going up against that Ravens offense. But it would surprise me. How about you?
No. Surprise, maybe, but those games are always so close. I guess this last one wasn't. I mean, Baltimore did win that game and cover against the Steelers. I agree with what your point about what the Steelers look like, but it's also a Ravens team that has not really ever had a great game in the playoffs. They've won a few. That's what's needed now, right? I mean, that's what they have yet to prove, and to an extent, the Bills too. It would make for an incredible round two game if they both won, but I don't love it for Baltimore. I didn't love the Chargers either. I think the Chargers are the one road team that could scare Kansas City if they win this week. I think they're the only one of the four potential Chiefs opponents who could beat them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And again, you have a divisional opponent. They played them tight already this year. And the Chargers are a team, what I talked about, where they can run the heck out of the ball. They can shorten the game. And you make a couple mistakes, you know, it's one and done in the playoffs. There's no, you know, they had the right game script and we couldn't stop them. And so, I certainly think that that could be an upset in Kansas City. It truly wouldn't shock me to see Kansas City not make it to the AFC Championship this year. Now, they are getting healthy at the right time. They're, besides last week, obviously playing, not playing a bunch of their starters and obviously not Mahomes. But prior those last few weeks, they're playing some of their better ball. They're getting some skill guys back. Chris Jones was out. You know, he's going to be back for the playoffs. So, but it still wouldn't shock me. I mean, you play with fire all year like they have. You know, they're extremely fortunate, and we've talked about it a number of times on here, to have that one seed right now.
Yep. Very good, Eric. Well, we all can't wait for Sunday. Look forward to that and our conversation next week.
Yep, absolutely. Me too.
All right, as our man. All right, Eric, have a good week. There's Eric Wood on the Western Hotline. His appearance is weekly here on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
Updates coming down now from Sean McDermott on Terrell Bernard, Amari Cooper, and more. We'll fill everybody in on that after we return. 803-0550 to talk playoffs. We're here, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. It is Football Monday on WGR.